Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas, taking you up until 6. And then we grapple with the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. But before we get to the mats, we go all the way down to our state capital, where Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus is standing by. Dunny, a pleasure as always to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing up there in the Cleveland?
Well, we're good. You guys got pelted by the snow earlier. We're getting pelted by it now. It's expected to continue throughout the rest of the evening and into the early stages of the morning. But you guys are pretty much done with it, aren't you?
We'll get a few squall here and there. But luckily for us, being 2 hours south of Elyria from you guys, our snow doesn't really stick that much this time of year. So thankfully none of it stuck, and it's all gone, especially on the roadways.
Well, Ohio State was stuck playing Penn State in their first matchup and the only matchup in the Big Ten tournament. Well, what was it about Penn State that just made them a thorn in Ohio State's side in all three matchups?
First of all, can I just acknowledge how amazing that transition was?
Of course. Twist my arm.
As we talked about last week, the biggest thing with the Buckeyes and that horrible matchup they have against Penn State is their guard play. And when you look at Tony Carr and their other guards, you know, it's just Ohio State just cannot play with, and not a lot of teams can play against a team that has two or three guards that are 6'5", 6'6", and can shoot the lights out like they can. They didn't do it a lot this season, but they definitely did it the three times they played the Buckeyes.
And I tell you, it's interesting. When you look at the way the season played out, again, they were much, much better during the regular season than I think anybody would have expected. I mean, to get like a 5-seed, which some people are predicting, like now, that seems like a little bit of a disappointment. But if we were to go back to November or even October and say, you know what, they could be a 5-seed, I think people would be thrilled if you told them that back in November.
If you said that the Buckeyes would be a 5-seed at the beginning of the season, they would have looked at you and said the NIT. That's what I would have said. A 5-seed in the NIT would have been all right. A 5-seed in the NCAA tournament at the beginning of the year, I would have laughed at you. I thought at best this team was could it be possibly playing in Dayton Tuesday or Wednesday in the first four. Now you say, you know, a little bit of a disappointment. I agree with you there, and that's, again, losing to Penn State three times. I think if they would have won that game, they would have been a lock as a four. They win the Big Ten tournament, they're a lock. I think they're a lock as a three. Right now, they're in pretty good as a five. I could even see them falling down to a six, depending what happens this weekend with the conference tournaments.
Well, I've got to ask you this, too, because it was a big topic of conversation by some that covered the tournament. But what was the general consensus, or what was the common response to playing a week earlier than usual in order to satisfy the need to play at MSG?
So if you ask the Big Ten Conference and people that work for the Big Ten, they're going to say it was a success. They had two or three games that were sold out. I know the Michigan State semifinal was sold out. I know the final with Purdue was sold out as well. So Michigan was sold out as well. So they're thrilled about that. I think they're really happy with overall the attendance and the attention it got. It's also going to depend on how the Big Ten does in the NCAA tournament. Because if they're all out after the first weekend, everyone's going to point to, well, this is because they played a week earlier and they had a week off before the tournament, and so that caused them to get some rust on them, and because they weren't playing. So I think, you know, you look at it that way, I think it was a success for the Big Ten. I think when you look at it nationally, it was all right. But as I heard the other day from Mark Titus, I believe it was, a former Buckeye basketball player, just because a bad idea works doesn't make it a good idea.
Hey, it seems odd to me, maybe this is just me, but it almost seems like it's kind of playing second fiddle to the Big East here, since the Big East here is playing during their conference tournament time, their conference tournament at MSG, and I don't know, the Big Ten's a conference that prides itself on having everything. They've got lacrosse, they've got hockey, they've got everything. They don't seem like they'd want to play second fiddle to anyone. Maybe that's just my look here.
They were definitely playing second fiddle to the Big East because during the semifinals for, I believe it was the semifinals for the Big Ten tournament, you already saw billboards being put up for the Big East tournament. That was going to be playing a few days later. So, you know, it was being played a second fiddle. That's why they couldn't play it this weekend in MSG is because of the Big East tournament. So I think the Big Ten knew that going in. They were content with that. Next year, it's back in Chicago. And the following year, it's back where it should be every year in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay, why do you say that? See, I think Chicago's not a bad location, and I love the city of Indianapolis. I think it's fantastic. I've had a couple of very good experiences there. But I want to give you the option here to really expand on that. Why do you think that's the ideal location?
It's the greatest state.
I think it's the ideal location because it's really central to every team. If you're traveling from Memphis, if you're traveling from Nebraska, from Michigan State, from Minnesota, from Wisconsin, from Ohio State, it's really centrally located to everybody. Everything is surrounding the arena. It's an arena built for basketball only, and then you know some concerts. But it's really a basketball-centric arena. It's a basketball-centric town, and as a basketball-centric state. They love the Big Ten when they come in. They play it up huge. They treat it like it's a big event, which it should be. And not to mention, everything is just around. It's so around the arena, from hotels to restaurants to nightlife to everything. Everything is around Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and so it makes total sense to have everything there. Whereas you go to the United Center in Chicago, that's kind of out of the way a little bit, and so you're having to travel back and forth. Whereas in Indy, everything is right there in the middle.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And I would imagine a guy like you that's been around the scene for a while, you probably also like Indianapolis because any type of nightlife that you come across, you walk into the club, immediately they get you a private booth and bottle service. Is that normally how it works?
Only in my own mind.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying, I've heard some things that when you show up to the Big Ten tournament, or if they held the Big Ten football championship there, you know, a lot of times when they know you're coming, they put you up in the penthouse and they make sure that you are taken care of before anybody else. Is that part of the equation too?
Not even in my wildest dreams does that happen.
All right. Well, fair enough. I had to throw that out there. Well, I guess we need to transition from that into the early stories that are developing around football's spring practice. Hard to believe we're talking about that again. We're 2 months removed from the national championship game, and here we are ramping up with football practices again, and that will lead up to the spring game a few weeks into April. What are some of the early things that you're hearing coming out of these early spring practices?
Well, obviously the biggest thing is who's going to play quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes in the 2018 season. Obviously that's between Dwayne Haskins, who is believed to have the upper hand right now on Joe Burrow. Urban Meyer says they're splitting reps right now. You know, everyone's getting a run at the ones. But he said don't count out Tate Martell, the kid from Las Vegas. He's going to be a redshirt freshman this year. Don't count him out. I would not be surprised if Tate makes a run for the starting job. I also wouldn't be surprised if come fall and come the first game of the season, you see some wrinkles where Tate Martell is in at quarterback and either Joe Burrow or Dwayne Haskins is split out wide, kind of like a Tim Tebow role had this freshman year at Florida with Chris Leak.
What kind of style does each one of those guys possess? Because in order to run Urban Meyer's offense, you have to be able to run the read option. You have to know how to run out of that spread option. I think it's interesting how each quarterback kind of has to adapt. Do all three of those guys have the ability to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. If they didn't have the ability, they wouldn't have been recruited to the Ohio State Buckeyes by Urban Meyer. But when you ask me to compare them, I look at it this way. Dwayne Haskins reminds me a lot of Cardale Jones. He's got a rocket for an arm. He can throw it like nobody's business. He's accurate with the ball. He can run. He runs well, but he doesn't run as well as Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow reminds me a lot of JT Barrett, and that one's going to be like, oh, this is JT Barrett, and we're done with him. JT, when on fire, is very accurate. He can throw the short to medium range ball extremely well. He can throw the deep ball, but you know his accuracy goes away with that. And Tate Joe Burrow can run really well. With Tate Martell, you got a lot of both. You have a lot of him running. He can run the spread option extremely well. That's what he ran in high school. He can run with the best of them. His first snap at Ohio State in last year's spring game, he ran it in for a touchdown. Everyone talks about how he just makes people miss in practice, so I would not be surprised if he shows up there, like I said. But